Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Lately, I've been getting a bunch of questions about legal issues, but not necessarily things that are in the news. And a lot of them are really good, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Randy sent me a note and said, Steve, you often see this language when a company sells stuff nationwide, and they'll often have disclaimers in the warranty or on the packaging that say things like, you may have other rights, which may vary from state to state, or some states do not allow the denial of an implied warranty, therefore you should follow up on this. And he said, in essence, how do we know what the other rights are? What rights are they even talking about? And it seems like they say you've got all these rights, but you may have other rights. Or you've got no rights, but you might have rights. And we've all seen the language, and the language most often occurs in disclaimers in limited warranties. And so what we're talking about is you're buying something brand new. It comes with a warranty from the manufacturer, and they're often called limited warranties because full warranties are very rare. And all of that is governed by the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which is a federal statute. And the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act relies heavily upon the Uniform Commercial Code, which has to do with the sale of goods and addresses warranties also. Okay? And so this is a very, very complicated topic, but I think I can break it down pretty simply to let you know this. And we've talked about some of this before in different contexts, but what you need to understand is that right now, across America, 50 states, the UCC does govern. But different states have tweaked the UCC. So in your state, you follow the UCC, but how your state addresses a couple minor little things become very, very critically important to you if you are buying things. The first question is, are you buying goods? Goods. Article 2 of the UCC addresses goods. So if you're buying a car, it's a good. If you're buying a computer, a camera, a microphone, microphones, whatever it might be, those are goods. Okay, so goods, there you go. Most brand new goods in America are offered with some form of warranty from the manufacturer. And the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act says that if a manufacturer wants to sell something with a full warranty, F-U-L-L, the actual word full warranty, they've got to do all kinds of stuff that most manufacturers don't want to do. So they'll almost always say it is an express limited warranty. Automobiles, almost all cars I've seen are sold with limited warranties. And the limited warranty will often say that, you know, for instance, a car, 3 years, 36,000 miles, if something breaks due to bad workmanship, we'll replace it or fix it at our choice during that time period. You bring it to one of our shops and let us diagnose it and fix it. That's a limited warranty, right? So the question then becomes, what are they talking about when they say you may have other rights, which may vary from state to state? Some states do not allow the denial of an implied warranty. And so there are a bunch of different kinds of warranties. So there are express warranties, which are the warranties they give you, such as the limited warranty is an express warranty. They're telling you about it. They're expressing it to you. It's an express warranty. There are things called implied warranties. And that's where the tricky part comes. Because if you're buying goods from a merchant, and a merchant is somebody who deals in goods of that kind, so you go to a car dealer, they are a merchant with respect to cars. If you go to a guitar center, they're a merchant with respect to guitars. Now, you go to a garage sale, and someone down the street selling knickknacks out of their garage, they're not a merchant. They're just somebody selling knickknacks out of their garage. So what we're talking about here is you go to a merchant and you buy something. If you buy something from a merchant, we're talking about hypothetical situations here first. If you buy something from a merchant, it is implied that it is merchantable. Merchantable. So UCC 2314, and it'll have different designations in different states, says that a warranty that the goods shall be merchantable is implied in a contract for their sale if the seller is a merchant with respect to goods of that kind. And what merchantable means is they are fit for the ordinary purposes for which goods are used, such goods. So what that basically means is if you go to a car dealer and buy a car, it should get you around safely and reliably. Safe and reliable transportation, point A to point B. There you go. Most people always go from A to B. They don't go from B to A. It's weird. But here's the problem. The first few words of that section, 2314, begin with unless, excluded, or modified. And that's because the UCC says you don't have to give an implied warranty. But because it's implied, you do have to disclaim it to get rid of it. But you're allowed to do that if you want to. So the code says to exclude or modify the implied warning merchantability, language must mention merchantability, and in case of a writing, must be conspicuous. So they can put something in writing that just says, we're selling this to you with no implied warning merchantability, and that'll do it. But the UCC actually goes a little further than that and says, unless the circumstances indicate otherwise, all implied warranties are excluded by expressions like as is, with all faults, or other language, which in common understanding calls the buyer's attention to the exclusion of warranties and makes plain that there is no implied warranty. And that is 2316. So what that means is that dealers are presumed to have given you some implied warranty merchantability unless they exclude it. And guess what? 99% of all dealers in America exclude the warranties if they can. But here's where we get back to, you may have other rights, which may vary from state to state, or some states do not allow the denial of an implied warranty. And that's the issue, because many states allow this and adopted the UCC verbatim. And there are some states that don't allow merchants to avoid implied warranties on consumer goods. And so in these states, disclaimers such as is are essentially meaningless. And in fact, if you look this up, there is a buyer's guide window sticker that the Federal Trade Commission mandates that all used car sellers who are dealers in America put that on the window of the car or someplace visible when people are shopping. And it says right on it, this vehicle comes with warranties or as is. And in some states, it doesn't say as is because they're not allowed to do it. So they actually have two different window stickers that they use. One that gets used in the states that allow as is and the ones that get used in the states that don't. So I have people ask me this from time to time, and I'm always leery of giving a list because these can change. States change this stuff all the time. But as of right now, and I looked this up a couple different places, I found it at findlaw.com, a list of the states that cannot disclaim the implied warranty merchantability. The District of Columbia is there, but they're not a state, of course. And then in alphabetical order goes Alabama, Connecticut, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Vermont, Washington, and West Virginia. So out of the 50 states and D.C., you've got 12 and D.C. that do not allow the disclaimer of the implied warranty merchantability, and they do not allow the use of the as-is to do that. So that's 12 states and D.C., and all the rest, they can sell a vehicle as-is all day long. So in my state, Michigan, I've been seeing this my entire career. People call my office. I bought a car yesterday, certified pre-owned. Engine blew up, whatever. Transmission fell out of it. You bought a certified pre-owned car. It's used. They sold it to you as is. No, it's CPO. Buyer's guide? Yeah, what's it say? As is. Well, how can it be as is and CPO? Well, certified pre-owned means it's used and it's as is. And so the thing that confuses most people in that setting is that the CPO addresses the vehicle having an extended warranty from the manufacturer. And the warranty of merchantability comes from the seller. So you often have to think of the relationships between the parties when you buy a vehicle. And so in a brand new vehicle sale, you, the buyer, go into a dealer who's the seller, and you buy a vehicle from the seller, and the seller got the vehicle from the manufacturer. So in a roundabout way, you've got no relationship with the manufacturer other than you bought a vehicle that came with one of their warranties, but you did not deal directly with them. But you bought the vehicle with that warranty if it's brand new, right? And if it's a late model car, that warranty might transfer to you with the purchase of the vehicle. And I know people have done that. I've done that myself, where I bought a late model car that had some of the remainder of the manufacturer's warranty on it. And those vehicles can still be sold as is in most states because the dealer is making no promises about the merchantability of the car. All they're saying is, we're selling you a vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty on it. You got problems? Talk to them. And a lot of people right now are saying, but Steve, if you've got a warranty from the manufacturer, why would it matter if the vehicle sold as is or not? Because doesn't that warranty take care of you? Well, as you might imagine, 30 years of doing lemon law, I've seen vehicles that can't be fixed. So you buy a used vehicle with the manufacturer's warranty still in place, but you bought it as is, and it keeps breaking down. And you take it back to the dealer, take it back to the dealer, take it back to the dealer. And eventually you say, guys, will you buy the vehicle back? They go, no, we don't have to. We didn't make you any promises. We just sold you a vehicle. If you got a problem, talk to the manufacturer. Talk to the manufacturer. They go, well, bring it back. We'll fix it. Keep bringing it back. We'll keep fixing it. You say, but wait a second. What if you can't fix it? Keep bringing it back. We'll fix it. Keep bringing it back. And in their mind, as long as they keep repairing it or working on it, they're fixing it. Most consumers, however, think after 5 or 10 or 15 trips to the shop, the vehicle ain't being fixed. And now we're running into that thing about insanity, where we keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results but expecting different results. And you realize this ain't working either. And then the problem is that in many states, the vehicle you bought used isn't covered by the lemon law. So what do you do? Well, the good news is the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act says that if a vehicle is covered by a warranty or any product covered by a warranty cannot be repaired under the warranty after a reasonable number of repair attempts, you can go after them under the Mag-Moss Act, but the various guidelines and so on aren't as clear as they are under lemon laws. And so they're very, very difficult cases to pursue. So the biggest problem I have is that people call me and they say, Steve, I bought a 9-year-old car, paid a ton of money for it, and the engine exploded 2 days later. I say, well, if those are your only facts and you bought it as is, there's not much you can do in Michigan. Now, the question becomes, what happens in the cases such as D.C., Alabama, Connecticut, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Vermont, Washington, West Virginia? Because those states require the dealer to sell the vehicle because they're a merchant with respect to goods of the kind with an implied warranty merchantability. And then the question is, if you buy a vehicle from them and it blows up 3 days later, you got something to talk about. So see if you can find an attorney in that state who will handle a used car case on a vehicle that blew up shortly after purchase because it wasn't sold as is. And you might be able to find such a lawyer. I don't know. But again, I don't practice law in those states, so I can't help you. So that's the biggest issue you have. The other thing I hear about from time to time, and I get contacted about once a month, maybe twice a month on this, is there are states out there that require you, when you acquire a new vehicle, especially from out of state, that you got to get the vehicle inspected before you can put it on the road. And so a state like Michigan, which allows them to be sold as is, used cars, and allows vehicles on the road with no inspections, we don't have either of those things. So I'll meet somebody who says, Steve, I bought a car in Michigan. Brought it back to my state, it won't pass an inspection. The thing's a death trap, the engine blew up or whatever. And all of these problems are happening in a state where normally you can't have an as-is sale and you can't sell someone a car that can't pass an inspection. And I say, well, unfortunately, we don't have those laws here in Michigan. So you've got to think about that. So this is actually a warning to people in D.C., Alabama, Connecticut, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Vermont, Washington, and West Virginia. If you've grown up in those states and gotten used to the idea that vehicles you buy actually have to have some drivability to them if you bought them from a car dealer, or the ability to pass an inspection, don't assume you have those rights in other states because you might not. And so you call the attorney in Michigan and go, what can you do for me? Nothing. Nothing. That's how things are here in Michigan. So that gets us back to the original question that Randy sent. Steve, what do they mean by you may have other rights which may vary from state to state, or some states do not allow the denial of an implied warranty? That's what they mean. And so it's important that you understand this stuff and figure out what state you are in. You should know this. Now, I recently talked about the fact that people who are attending New York Giants football games in New Jersey who just discovered they're in New Jersey for the first time while sitting in the stands. I had a couple people from New York say, Steve, that's possible. I'm still not sure about that. But if you are in one of those states, understand that you have protections that don't exist in other states. And it's kind of like I tell people, if you're going to travel to Canada or Mexico or some other country from America, you've got to understand the moment you cross that dotted line on the border, everything that you know about life back in America went out the window. So if a cop pulls you over and you want to start spouting off about the Constitution, they might look at you and go, what are you talking about, my friend? We don't have that here. Whatever country you may have gone to that is a non-U.S. country. So there you go. But it's a great question. Thank you for asking that, Randy. And that is the explanation behind what you need to know about your rights. And if you want to look this stuff up, it's UCC 2314 and 2316. The two designation means it's coming from Article 2 of the UCC. Article 2 governs sales of goods. So Article 2-314 or 2-316. Questions, your comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The greatest teacher I know is the job itself.